Good to see you all here, and it's wonderful that we can join together as two congregations. And we miss the other part of our church, so it's fantastic to be able to meet together and just join together to worship God. It's been amazing, actually, over these past few weeks to have just a sense of the incredible presence of God amongst us. And I don't know about you, but meeting in our churches and experiencing God's presence afresh has been amazing. And I can speak for that personally, yes, in our church services, but also just personally at home. Isn't God gracious? Isn't God incredible that we would get alone and put some worship music on, and all of a sudden you feel the presence of God with you? And you read, you open the Word, and suddenly you're reading about who God is, about His character, about His love, about His plan for mankind, and you sense the presence of God in the room. It's like, God, you're so merciful. I don't deserve this. Just meeting with God, and there have been the times over these last few weeks where I've just been so overwhelmed by the grace of God, just wept at His plan for us, His love for us, His mercy for us, His goodness to us. We're not in a sterile religion or a religion where it's just a one-way flow. No, it's just so incredible to be in relationship with God, isn't it? Well, it is for me, and I'm sure it is for us. And intentionally pursuing the presence of God is so important. And that's basically what I want to just share a few thoughts this morning about us as a people, about His children, intentionally pursuing and going after and encountering God's presence. Because there's something amazing that happens to us. That is actually how we were designed, to walk with Him 24/7. Hearing His voice, encountering His closeness, Him loving us, us loving Him, us understanding actually, yes, that we're in a place of submission to Him, and that we're living for Him. It's an incredible privilege, isn't it, for us to know the presence of God. And, you know, as a people, the Bible says that that is what distinguishes us between every nation, every people group, every religion. We are different because God says that His presence goes with us, that His presence is with us. Not only is His presence around us, but He says that He comes to make His home. He lives inside of us. And He said that it's better that I go away, that I may send you the Holy Spirit to give us the power to live for Him and to be with Him and to experience Him. He is just a breath away. Actually, God even knows what we're going to pray before the words get off the ends of our tongues. God knows our hearts. That is the closeness and the intimacy that we have with Jesus. So guys, yes, in church, we're meeting together, and there's an expectation. Yeah, I'm in church, so I'm going to encounter the presence of God. But at work, at school, at college, out on a hike, out walking the dog, whatever you do, washing up, whatever it is that you do in your mundane, everydayness of life, we can encounter the presence of God. And you know, there is nothing more beautiful and nothing more hope-giving. I don't know if that even that is a word, but nothing more beautiful, nothing more wonderful than to experience and encounter the closeness, the intimacy of God Himself. And it is a wonder that He wants to do that for me. I know that you're all beautiful, wonderful, holy people, but God, that He would do that for me. Wow, so incredibly humbling. David wrote in Psalm 139, verse 7, "Where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence?" And, you know, I've been reading a lot of the Psalms recently, and David's an incredible man. And his life, took some incredible ups and downs. He had some amazing mountaintop experiences with God. And he had some places of being completely devastated and undone and just feeling the weight of sin upon himself. Highs and lows. And he knew, though, the restoration work of God in his life. And his heart and his passion for God, to seek after him, to love him. He'd encountered God in such a way that it changed his whole perspective of who God was. He knew God. He'd encountered God. He knew that although he was king and that he had, in one sense, all the power on the earth, that actually he was nothing compared to the God that he served. And there are so many perspectives that we can learn, that I can learn, that we can learn from the life of David, his response to God. And he says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And the answer is actually, in one sense, we can't, can we? We can't. He says, I can't. I can't escape from your presence. We can't get away from him. You can't hide. We can't get away from him. Now, there's a picture here. I don't know if you can see it, but, you know, if you take the universe, the Milky Way, I'm not an astronomer, but, you know, it's like, I don't know how many million light years it is to go from one side of the Milky Way to the other. And there is, I don't know, you can't even, we're so small, it's like a tiny, it's not even a speck of dust that looks, that's Earth, you know, and that's just our little solar system with the sun and the Earth, and we're there. And if God actually is omnipresent, if he is everywhere, not just upon the earth, but he's everywhere there, can he be everywhere on our little planet? Yes, of course he can. Where can I go from your presence? It's, of course God can fill this earth. Of course God is able to do that. It's mind-blowing, isn't it, that when you, and I think, was it you last week? I think you may have shown some pictures. And the space just goes on and on and on, because if there's an end, something needs to be the other side of it. So, I mean, it's mind-blowing, isn't it? I mean, how is that possible? God just blows our minds. But there is no place, in one sense, that we can get away from God. Of course it's easy for God to inhabit this earth, to inhabit your world, because that's what God does. But the reality is that even though we're able to be in his presence, often sometimes we don't feel him, sometimes we don't recognize his presence with us, and sadly, sometimes we say that we don't want him to be with us. Wow. Actually, God, I want to just do my own thing. I want to do my little rebellious thing, or I just don't want you involved in that. So actually, I don't actually want to acknowledge, I don't really want you to be with me. Can you, a God who just loves us so much, how devastating that must be. But guys, I want you to know, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're looking at going into this next week, whatever is going on in your life, God's going to be there for you. He is with you. And, you know, the presence of God is such a beautiful thing that I just want to unpack just a couple of bits about how we can intentionally, how we can practically put things into place to experience him more. Because I know when I am in that place of meeting with him on a daily, and not just a daily, but several times throughout the day, life, the perspective of life changes. Perspective is a big thing. I was actually listening on the radio the other day, and they were talking about walking in the rain and walking in the cold. Don't know if any, I'm a radiant. I love Radio 4. So, oh, you sad people. It's a few. Woo, woo. Yes, come on. Yes, wonderful. You might have even heard it. They were talking about walking in the rain and just how we're actually, it's good to get out into the elements. And, you know, that changed my perspective. Rather than complaining, thinking it's just like, this is grim, it's cold, it's wet. I thought, no, I can actually change my perspective to say, this is a good thing to do, to go out. Perspective actually can change everything. And, you know, spending time in the presence of God can change our perspective on life. What may seem disastrous, what may seem hopeless, what may seem impossible, just a moment in the presence of God can just change everything for us. God, guys, we need to get more into the presence of God, spending time with him. And, you know, today, if you aren't walking with God, if you realize you need him, if you realize that actually, yeah, maybe I once walked like that, but I've kind of stepped away or lost that intentionality, come back to Jesus today. Come back to Jesus today. It's not a difficult, long, hard journey to make. It's a decision. It's perspective. That's where I once was, but I'm here. But I want to get to that place of just walking with God closely. And I tell you, if we do that as a people, wow, what is God going to do amongst us? We are going to be pursuers of his presence, of his holiness, of his goodness, of his righteousness. That's what God wants. So why are we talking about the presence of God? Well, you know, God never designed you. God never designed life to be done alone. He designed you so that you walk closely with him. That is his plan right from the beginning. It was never designed for you just to do life isolated, struggling on your own, trying to work things out, trying to just do things in your own strength. That was never God's plan for you and for me. And I thank God for that. Right from the beginning, when God put man in the Garden of Eden, it says that God was there with him. He was there with him. And it talks about God walking with man. And I can imagine, I don't, you know, 24/7, if the days had been allotted, you know, by that time, you know, 24/7 in the presence of God, walking with him, talking with him, sharing stuff, God sharing his heart. That's an incredible picture, isn't it, of how we were created to be. In Genesis 3:8-9, it says, then the man and his wife, Genesis 3:8-9, it says that the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from God amongst the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to man, where are you? So here, this was God's plan, was to walk every day. God's plan was for man to walk and for them to walk together every day, just sharing hearts and just God loving upon them. And we know, don't we, the story that man sinned. And that sin brought a separation, cut man off from God, man's rebellion. And so God's now going out for a walk. He says, where are you? My intention is that I'm going to be walking with you. And that was how you were created. And this is why I created this beautiful place, so that we could walk together. Where are you? Why aren't you here? And man's sin and rebellion distanced and separated us from God. This beautiful relationship that God had designed, this beautiful place of intimacy with God, was cut off, and we were separated from God because of sin. But you know, it was never God's intention for that to happen. It's never God's intention for that. But mankind, we lost that sense of his presence because of sin, because of man's sin. And you know what, guys? The situation was hopeless. There were no amounts of prayer. There was no amount of work. There was no amount of shouting to God. There was no amount of good works. There was no amount of charity work that could be done to get back to God, to overcome the chasm of sin that had been created. So different to what God had intended. Yet now God is here and he's crying, where are you? And man is, we're trying to get back to God through our own effort, but it's impossible. It was hopeless. And, you know, we are, without God, a people that are hopeless, full of sin, without any way to get relationship with God. But God had a plan. Woo! Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5 says, and this is the gospel, isn't it? This is the God, this is the heart of the Bible. This is the heart of Jesus' ministry upon the earth. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive together with Christ. Even when we were dead, even when we had sinned, even when we rebelled against God, God came with a plan of salvation. For it is by grace, the Bible says, that you've been saved. And you know, without God having a plan for us, you and I would be destined for hell. And actually, without God accepting Jesus, we go into an eternity separated from God. We can't bridge the gap. We can't do anything to bridge the gap that was created by sin. It wasn't what God intended. But man's rebellion created that divide. We try to do things on our own, but actually the only way that we can come back to the Father and come back to that place of being restored into that place of his presence is through the cross, is through salvation, is through the only Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the only way. And, you know, just as God's intention was for Adam to walk with God, God walks with his children today, doesn't he? He does. That's, if you're a Christian here, then you got to know that God walks with you, that the divide has been undone, the bridge has been made. God's drawn him back, you back to himself, and now he's with you, he's for you, he's walking with you, his presence is available to you. That is the whole point of Jesus and the cross. And you know, in the Bible, it talks about people walking with God. Noah walked with God. It says about Abraham walking with God. And now it's Danny's walking with God. And Ali is. And Robert. And each and every one of you. It's amazing. We can take that now as yes. Because of what Jesus has done, I've been restored into that place of now I can be in the presence of God. And that is God's original intention for us. So guys, it's amazing that we have this promise of God, that he wants to restore us into that relationship and experience, to walk and to hear and to be led by him. You know, we serve a God who's alive. I've been listening recently to a lot of Billy Graham sermons, and wow, that guy has got fire. And he was saying the other day, I have not given myself to a dead God. I've given myself to a God who's alive. And I was like, yes. He said, I'm not serving a God that went into the grave, but I serve a God who is alive, who's living, who is about changing and transforming lives. And that is the God that we serve, isn't it? He's a God who heals, he's a God who restores, he's a God who's presence. And you know, when we know that God is with us, I tell you, you are a dangerous person. Yeah. You can go into places with a boldness that you would never have on your own. You can do things. And the Bible says that we will do great exploits. How are you going to do that? But when God is with you, so your boldness, a supernatural boldness comes over us. We recognize that we're nothing and that he is everything. And he's the one that is actually in control. And, you know, so as Christians, I want to encourage you this morning as children of God, that his original plan for us was that we walk every day with him, sharing everything with him, in closeness with him. And through Jesus, that has been restored and made possible. So it's not a weird thing just to be out walking. I was out walking the dog a couple of days ago, and I was just worshiping and singing and it was raining, so I had my hood up, and didn't realize there was a lady right behind me walking the dog. She must have thought, who is this? But I was like, this is just beautiful. Lord, I love you. You know, we're created to sing and to worship and to love upon him and to dote upon him and to elevate him and to worship, just to give him the place of importance in our lives. I did stop and let her go by in case she thought I was some kind of like, you know, please go back. But we can sense the presence of God with us wherever we are, wherever we go, whatever we're doing, whoever we are. And I think the more that we can change our perspective and realize that, and live in that place, you know, greater security, greater overcoming of fear and whatever other things that we battle. So the truth is that actually, as we saw in that picture, that God is everywhere. And he wants us to encounter his presence. And so I just want to just look at a couple of things that we can practically maybe do to facilitate that. Is that okay? Are you with me? Just turn to just see if the person beside you is still awake. Give them a little nudge. Yeah. Okay. Firstly, my first point is be dependent upon him every day. So the moment that you wake up in the morning, open your eyes and just thank God for his presence with you. Before the weight of the day and the problems and the issues and the challenges. But let the first thing that you do when you open your eyes, thank you, God, for your presence with me. Today I'm going to get out of bed and I'm going to walk with you. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, be strong and courageous, do not fear or be terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. You know, why would Jesus go back on his word? Why would God go back on his word? He sent Jesus as a sacrifice and he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So why would he's never going to go back on his word. That's his promise to you. You never need to be afraid. Why do I not need to be afraid or terrified? How can I have faith about the future? Because God will never, ever leave you. That's what God said to Joshua. He said, there are enemies, there are challenges. You know, our God's very real and very practical. He knows the challenges and stuff that we go through. He's not just saying, actually, life is an easy ride, because actually, life isn't always easy, is it? Well, okay. You know, I face challenges and difficulties, and life is not always easy. But, wow, with God, with a perspective of God is with me. God is going to be leading me through this. With that perspective, wow, I can face the difficulties and the challenges. It's a change of perspective. You can choose to be miserable and just be defeated. Or you can choose to take God at his word. And you don't deserve to take him at his word. It's not about you. So get over yourself. It's not about you. If God says that we as his children can have it, take hold of it. Apply it. Otherwise, we make the cross nothing. So, guys, come on. Let's change our perspective. We don't have to face anything alone. And, don't look at your situation at the moment and just say, well, actually, I'm going through a hard time or it's really difficult. Therefore, I must be doing something wrong or outside the will of God. You know, sometimes actually we can't look at the situations of our life and then make a judgment, is God with me or not? No, he's with you. He's with you. He's with you. Now, our circumstances change all the time, but he is unchangeable. You can't say, well, just because I'm struggling at the moment, you know, God's left me. He hasn't left you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't left you. You know, that his presence is everywhere. Where can I go from your spirit? So you can still be in the center of God's will, yet still be facing challenges. But the God's gift of his presence has nothing to do with the earthly circumstances that you're going through. So some of you may be facing big challenges and difficulties, big trials. But actually, often those are the times where our God comes through even more powerful. His grace is demonstrated even more powerfully. So adopt an attitude of, I'm going to go into today, I'm going to step in, and I'm going to go in with God's presence. I'm not going to step in and out of his presence, but I'm going to remain in that place close to God, walking with God, as God intended for me to do. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So let me ask you, what are you meditating on? What's your mind focusing on today? Is it on the problems and challenges and difficulties and the limitations? Or is your mind focusing upon, actually, my God can do anything. My God is able. My God is bigger than any challenge or problem that I have. And you know, life has a great, as we said, has a great ability to drown out, even at times, the voice of God. Challenges, hardship, pain. I'm not denying that life sometimes can throw these things at us. Sometimes life's problems can distract us, drawing us away from God. And you know, that has an impact, doesn't it, upon our lives. So we've got to find a way how to intentionally every day press into God. I was at a Horsham Churches Together ministers meeting this week, and one of the guys said, guys, can I just ask some advice? He said, I've got 4 children under the age of 7. He said, life for me is chaos. He said, you know, there's babies and nappies and washing. And he said, like, how can I intentionally press into God so I can be encountering him and then living life out of the overflow? And one of the other guys said, yes, I'm also in the same position. He said, I've got a young family. He said, and when my wife gives me the baby to bottle feed, he said, I plug the baby in. Not the words that he used, but anyway, plug the baby in. And he said, I'm reading a psalm. And I'm just using every opportunity I can, you know. So as I'm feeding the baby, I'm reading the psalm and Psalms, and I'm getting some input from God, and I'm spending time with Him. And another guy said, "Yes, I realized actually that I need to change my lifestyle. That if I'm serious about pursuing and encountering God, I need to go to bed earlier, so actually I can go to bed earlier, so I can get up earlier, so I can spend time with God before my family." Erupts into activity, and there's chaos again. I need to get up early and spend time with him. And you know, can I say, some of you need to get up earlier, go to bed earlier, and get up earlier to be intentional to meet with God. If you are serious about encountering and meeting and pursuing and getting filled up and getting stronger than you have been before, sometimes it takes a lifestyle change. Maybe going to bed half an hour earlier and getting up. I'm with you. I know I'm not great in the mornings, but if that's the what's the word I'm looking for? The period of life that you're going through. Because sometimes, if you're retired, please, don't shoot me here. But if life is different or you got more time, maybe you can spend time in the afternoon. But if you're in a young family and it's just manic, you got to find a way to meet with God. And don't say you don't have enough time, because that's an excuse. Because when this thing pops up on my phone to tell me how many hours I've spent on screen time, I have no excuse to say I cannot spend half an hour with God, because this thing is telling me that I'm spending a lot more time on my phone, and this thing doesn't love me, and this thing isn't going to bring salvation to me. This isn't going to bring the presence of God. So can I say, stop making excuses that actually we don't have enough time. We do. We do. I do. I'm talking to myself. We have enough time. You know, if we want to encounter the presence of God, then, you know, we need to be intentional. Our hearts need to be. David's heart was, you know, create in me a clean heart. He wanted his heart to be changed, priorities to be changed. You know, maybe one of the things that you need to do to encounter the presence of God is to come clean with him. You know, maybe there are some people here today that need to come clean to God, to be honest with him, to confess our sins to him. You know, sometimes we don't maybe experience the presence of God like maybe we used to, because there's something now blocking that communication, that relationship between you and him. He hasn't left you. God's not left you. But maybe your sensitivity to his presence is affected by stuff that sin or bad attitudes or stuff that we haven't confessed to him. He wants us to walk close to him every day in a relationship where everything is just open. Everything is shared, walking with him. Maybe there's some people that need to do that. You know, Psalm 32, are you still with me? Yeah. Psalm 32, verse 3 and 5 says, when I kept silent, and it was about his sin, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I didn't cover up my iniquity. And I said, I confess my transgressions to you, Lord. And you forgave my sin. You know, one of the powerful things about confession is that it brings restoration. You confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the power of the cross. Confession brings restoration. We're over here. God, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. And God says, I forgive you. I love you. I restore you. Straight back into that privileged place of being able to walk close to him and experience him. I'm going to skip one thing and I'm going to go to my last point, because my clock is telling me I'm on 31 minutes. So I was going to talk about, one of the things was about just letting the word of God speak. The Bible says about itself, the word of God is living and active and sharper than two-edged sword. Spend time in the word. Spend time in the word. Spend time finding out about the character of God. Spend time letting who he is and his plan and purposes for you just impact you. Spend time in the word of God. You know, who he is comes through reading the word of God. The whole story of salvation and forgiveness, man's sin and hopelessness, the hopeless situation that we are without God is shown in the word. God's restoration plan, his forgiveness, the cross, it's all revealed in the word. Get into the word of God. Let the word of God take you into that place. Wow. To reveal his presence in a greater degree. And I just wanted to lastly talk about worship. It's wonderful to be able to, there's something about worship that just brings us into the presence of God. It's such a precious gift. And Psalm 84 verse 1 and 2, it says, how lovely is your dwelling place. My soul yearns, longs, even faints for the courts of the Lord. You know, faint is a strong word. My soul yearns, longs, even faints. So it's there's a sense there that I cannot go on without you, God. Without you, I can't go on. You're the very life-giving energy that I need. This is the intensity that I'm longing after you, to encounter you, to walk with you, to experience with you. Not so that I can just be blessed and just say, oh, you know, I'm just walking with God. And no, it's so that you can be anointed and bold and equipped, and you can impact the world around you. You can go into work on a Monday morning with a smile on your face rather than, yeah. Say, what's wrong with you? You say, yes, the presence of God. I've got God with me. You know, it's that's that. Ultimately, you are going to be changed and transformed yourself, but you know, around you as well is going to be change. That sense of urgency, it's a sense that I cannot go on without you, God, unless I encounter you and I meet with you. That you are all I long for and all I desire for. And I want to ask, do you have that heart in you? Do you long for that? Is there a stirring in your heart, a passion for God? Or have we somehow grown cold and complacent? And it's easy to do that. I've been a Christian a long time. We go through seasons. But there are seasons sometimes where I need a kick up the backside and being told and to be realigned and refocused on God. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you've let things slip, or maybe you just lost sight of perspective on this idea that actually we can walk every day with in a closeness in the presence of God in such a way. You know, and worship is wonderful. But let me tell you, if the only time that you dance, if the only time that you weep in God's presence, if the only time that you bow, if the only time that you raise your hands in worship is when you're here in church, something's wrong. It's gone very quiet. Do you see what I'm saying? Because we come to church and we're like, yeah! Woohoo! And it's good. It's good. But you know, it's awkward. It can be awkward if we say, come to the front, let's raise our hands. It can be awkward if we're not doing it in our homes. Because it's like, this is actually not a lifestyle for me. This is just something I do in church. And this is like, but you know, if you're doing it, if you're bowing down, if you're crying, if you're worshiping, if you're loving, if you're being quiet before God, if you're dancing before Him at home, in your homes, if that's a normal part of your worship and your walking with Him every day, we'll say, guys, let's come and worship. Yes! This is not out of the ordinary for me. Do you understand what I'm... we were laughing. We were around at Lyle's for community group the other day, and I got distracted in worship because he put some worship music on, and the sound of these speakers, wow. I was like, so I said to him, what speakers have you got? And then we got onto Marketplace. I said to Ali, we're going to have a lot more worship in our house. And it wasn't that I really was getting the speakers for the worship. I know some people say they need to have a nice big hi-fi system for worship, and then they just want it. But worship in our homes. Otherwise, we're doing something here that we're not being true to. Do you understand? I hope that's not coming across harsh. So guys, Marketplace is brilliant. Go to Marketplace, find some speakers. If you've not got, you know, stick somewhere. You don't have to have posh speakers like Lyle and I've got now. But they're there to facilitate worship of God. I don't want to be doing something in the church that I'm not doing at home. And, you know, there is a dynamic of worship. You know, in Psalm 22, verse 3, it says, God inhabits the praises of his people. And, you know, sometimes we wonder, why am I experiencing God in a way that maybe I don't know? It's just, he loves worship that is focused on him. So do what it takes. I'm going to wrap up now. Do what it takes. You know, I'm battling against regressing to the 1990s. But you know, if you've got a worship song or a worship leader or somebody that just brings, you know, sometimes we can put on songs and you just, I don't know what it is, you're just drawn into the presence of God. Oh, and it's not about the worship, it's not about the song or even the worship leader, but it's that they, whatever it is, they have an ability to focus and elevate Jesus and who he is. And you get lost, not just in the song, but you get lost in love of Jesus. And we must never use worship as Christian karaoke. You know, like we're here, we're just singing the songs, Lord, I love you. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, I lift your name. And you know, if we don't actually think about the songs that we're singing, and use the songs that are there as a vehicle to let us love and worship and honor, and don't ever get into Christian karaoke. Don't just be reading the words, singing along. That's not worship. It's like, and if you know, that's a vehicle for us just to see God afresh. So let's get a different perspective about worship and adoration and love for Jesus. So in our homes, let's worship, let's dance, let's cry, let's love God, let's get captivated again by by God. Let's sing love songs to Him. Worship Him. If hymns do it for you, then sing worship. I was doing my devotion a couple of days ago, and it talked about a line from a hymn: ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Wow, Jesus paid the ransom for my life, and He paid the ransom for you. Wherever we are in life, you know, however long we've been a Christian, there is always something, a tweak, there is something different, there's an aspect of God, there's a way of living, there's something that we can do, and I don't mean doing more for God, but I mean just encountering Him afresh. It's not about doing more, about making our lives more busy, but it's about having a perspective to encounter Him more. So if you're here today and you feel that you've been living apart from Him, then that separation can be restored today through maybe confessing a sin. It may be just confessing pride or arrogance or whatever it is, and whatever that thing that you know has been causing that separation. Maybe you feel condemned because of stuff that's going on in your life. Maybe there are stuff that only you know that is separating you from God. Maybe you need God just to come and just assure you of forgiveness of sins, removal of shame and guilt. Maybe stuff that you've carried your whole life. You know, today we can find freedom in God. And even today, maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus, and this idea of walking close to God and having a relationship with Him, maybe it's something that you say, yeah, I want that, but I've never had it. Maybe we can just close our eyes, and first of all, just want to ask if there is anybody here today that maybe you want to give your life to Jesus. Maybe it's a recommitment. Maybe you've served God in the past. Maybe you've walked with Him, but for whatever reason, you know, Lyle spoke about, you know, people maybe being hurt by church or whatever it is, and you've got despondent and you've drawn away from God. God's not left you, but maybe you've drawn away from God. But now is the time to come back and let God deal with the pain and the hurt and the disappointment and stuff. Maybe you've never had the opportunity to say, actually, I want to give and dedicate my life and my future to Jesus. So if there's anybody here today, you want to respond to Jesus. You know, life is hopeless without God. But God came into this world to die on a cross, to become sin for us, so that we could have eternal life, to know that our sins are forgiven, to know that we're loved, to know that we're accepted. to restore us, to do for us what we could not do ourselves. If that's you, is there anybody here? Maybe you just want to raise your hand. I'd just love to pray for you today. Is there anybody that wants to respond? To give your life to Jesus for the first time, or maybe coming back to him, to recommit your life to him. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Okay, we'll pray for you in a minute. Yeah, great. And let's open up our hearts to the Lord today. Has your heart grown stale? Have you let your heart grow cold toward God? We want to pray for people today, that for a passion to be stirred up in our lives for him, for us to desire more of God. As I say, not to do more for him, but to desire more of him, a heart that longs for him, a heart that says, God, I want to give everything to you. Give me an undivided heart. Lord, today we just want to say we love you. We love you. Thank you for your presence here with us, not because of anything that we've done, but because of, and only, Lord, because of you and of your great love for us. Father, please change our hearts of stone to heart of flesh. Pray, Lord, that you would just come and move upon us, Lord. Maybe right where you are, you just want to do business with God. Maybe just to say sorry to him if you've excluded him. You've not opened up your heart or been pursuing him as you know that he's been calling to you. God is so desperate for us to love him. He's so desperate for us to walk with him. He sent Jesus. So why don't we just come and respond to God? Why don't we just come let's get out of our seats. Let's come and intentionally this morning come to him. And you know, we'd love to pray for anybody. You say, actually, yeah, I want, my heart's grown cold, or I need to bring something, I want to confess something, or I just want to recognize my life is not where it should be. We'd love to pray for you. So we're just going to be at the front here, and let's just spend some time just worshiping, encountering the presence of God and loving upon him.